CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. If you haven't already, I encourage all my listeners to please come to the CJSF station headquarters at SFU on top of the mountain and donate your spare change for change to the radio station. We depend on your support to continuing bringing you quality programming for many decades. Last show, we were looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. We are in the chapter, Creating a Personal Sense of Purpose, section, Decide How to Be. Decisions, we make them every day, whether they are big ones, little ones, important ones, novel ones. Decisions are as prevalent as tourists in Paris. With respect to one's purpose of self, a decision is needed in just about every aspect of the journey. But the one ongoing decision that an individual makes to cement their personal sense of purpose is whether or not they will choose to act with integrity. To operate with integrity is more about making a choice between honesty and dishonesty, right and wrong. It is about wholeness, about individualization. Personal integrity, wholeness, is suggestive of someone who acts with higher purpose, demonstrating their trustworthiness, reliability, and authenticity. All too often, we witness the lack of such characteristics in our social, political, and business leaders. An illustrative case in point was the exit of CEO Martin Winterkorn from Volkswagen in September 2015 in the wake of a scandal relating to the rigging of emission tests on diesel engines. Integrity and the concept of being whole can help determine whether someone or an organization is ever going to achieve the purpose effect. How one acts is often how one will be perceived. Eric Liddell was the British Olympian known to many through the 1981 Academy Award winning film Chariots of Fire. His decisions and demonstration of authenticity helped define his purpose. In preparation for the 1924 Paris Summer Olympics, Liddell and his coaches were informed his race specialties, 100 meters, 4 times 100 meters, and 4 times 400 meters, all fell on a Sunday. A devout Christian and missionary, Liddell intended to keep a promise to himself, his family, and his church that he would never run on the Sabbath. Although the British press derided his decision, claiming that he was putting God before country, Liddell remained whole and stayed true to his values and made a decision not to deviate from what mattered most to him. Instead, he requested that the British Olympic Committee allow him to train and race in the 200 and 400 meter events. Although not his preferred races, doing so would permit him to remain whole, as these events were scheduled on days outside of the Sabbath. Liddell went on to win a bronze medal in the 200-meter race and a gold medal in the 400-meter event. He was lauded as a hero across the United Kingdom. We might even argue Liddell and the British Olympic Committee also both benefited from Liddell's decision to remain whole. Clayton Christensen, the famous Harvard academic and author of such books as The Innovator's Dilemma and Disrupting Class, provides another example. When he attended Oxford University, Christensen was a member of the varsity basketball team that went undefeated for a year. The only thing in the way of a perfect season was the championship game. The match fell on a Sunday. Like Liddell, Christensen was a devout Christian. What to do? Like Liddell, Christensen refused to play on the Sabbath. He decided to sit out the championship game. On the decision, Christensen remarked, "The lesson I learned from this is that it's easier to hold your principles 100% of the time than to hold them 98% of the time." This sorts of decision that Liddell and Christensen, and arguably Winterkorn, demonstrated can ultimately impact where, with whom, and how one works. It can affect one's acceptance of whether they are leading a life or a working life of purpose. Take, for instance, Michael Bungay Stanier. Quote, "I want to infect a billion people with the possibility virus," Michael said to me. If one decides to work with authenticity, a statement like this might just do the trick. After years of toiling in roles and organizations that were not delivering much personal purpose, not making him whole, Michael made the decision to go out of his own and launch an organizational development firm he coined Box of Crayons. The company has since helped hundreds of organizations, including Tesco, TD Bank, PwC, Nokia, Citibank, and Nestle. Box of Crayons wants to help people and organizations do less good work and more great work. The person behind it all is Michael, the one who wants to infect a billion people with the possibility virus. But his decision to work in this manner was not easy. I've been engaged with this question, quote, "What the hell is the point of it all?" for quite a long time. Michael divulged during one of our discussions, quote, "I spent a long time seeking a path that would create a more purposeful life. I've always had a slight nervousness of following the expected path. School, university, marriage, house, kids, career, and so on is the commonly held preordained path, but it isn't necessarily the right path for everybody. This thesis has allowed me to stay present and helped me to figure out the right path for me. It helped me with my decision making. After a few years working in various decreasingly purpose-driven companies that led to misery all around, Michael decided that the process and the output of his working life were insufficient. The question he began asking himself, the decision he was seeking to make was, quote, what sort of outcome did he want in life? I recognized I was simply inventing the next soup for Heinz or Campbell's, unquote, Michael indicated. He cheekily continued, quote, I did not want to leave a legacy of having invented stuffed crust pizza, unquote. Michael had been developing and defining his what and who of personal purpose, but the manner in which he was operating, the how, was leaving him less than fulfilled. After a significant period of self-reflection, he added, I realized that the process of my work was insufficient. A better outcome had to become a big part of what I was doing in my life. Michael launched a box of crayons to complete the circle of creating his what, who, and how. Michael confided that even after creating box of crayons, he took some time to figure out the purpose of the company. We had to develop and decide what we wanted to be. But then this notion of possibility virus became so much of what we wanted to do. Box of crayons became a firm to give people the responsibility for enacting their own freedom. I can't personally touch a billion people, but I can infect people in such a way that it is shareable and accessible. This way of being influences me each and every day. We continually ask ourselves at Box of Crayons, how do we give away our content and intellectual property in a useful way, sharing with the tribe so it helps others with their own purpose? Michael may not have been prescribed to decide whether to run or play basketball on the Sabbath, but he forced himself to make a series of decisions concerning his working life. Eventually, he made himself whole. Shifting himself from a mindset without purpose, floundering in a unfulfilled mindset, and to one full of purpose, ensured he upheld his own definition of authenticity and integrity. The decision to operate in such a manner has benefited both Michael and the thousands of people he and his organization have touched. Indeed, it seems he is well on his way to infecting billions of people with the possibility virus. Knowing myself. If you've ever heard the adage, quote, salt of the earth, unquote, those who demonstrate great reliability and worth to others, Tim McDonald more than fits the bill. He is an example of someone who continues to develop, define, and decide what his place is in this ever-changing world. Tim started out his professional life in real estate. He was very successful. Not in the backwards Donald Trump real estate manner, but simply because he was really good at what he did. He probably could have continued in real estate until eventually retiring and would have done very well for himself and his family. In the mid-2000s, when the market was crashing in his hometown of Chicago, he began observing and hanging out with some of the developers in the real estate office, college kids, as he called them, who were exposing him to a new set of social networking tools like Facebook and Twitter. A light bulb went off in his head. The connection time to build up potential relationships could be quickly reduced. Even more, the number of relationships one could build could increase as well. Connections. Connecting with people. That is what brought purpose to him. Not real estate. Realizing this, in fact, Tim was continuing to sort out how to know himself. He had set out to land a marketing job, thinking some combination of marketing, high tech, and making connections was going to be the ultimate place of purpose. Although Tim eventually became the director of communications at the Social Media Club in Chicago, he did not feel that nagging void of personal purpose. He still felt empty. Tim was still analyzing his purpose of self, but the adjudication result was less than stellar. His canvas required repainting. His definition needed reworking. He did not yet know thyself. So he continued to hunt more than ever to achieve his personal sense of purpose. In the meantime, he was exposed to another term, community manager. The problem now became one of exposure. There was not a lot of information about community managers on the internet at that time. So quite naturally, he created his own site, naming it My Community Manager. It became a connections portal of sorts. From there, to help build up better relations with connections and community, he began utilizing Google Hangouts. He became hooked on live stream video as a means of establishing and enhancing these connections, friends, and relationships. This was helping to fuel Tim's definition of himself. He was not yet done with his journey, but he was getting close to a better state of knowing thyself. Tim was inching towards a workplace scenario that began to make far more sense than any other previous role or situation. On his trek, he then took a great leap forward to the ultimate decision of what he had become today. Based on what he was doing from My Community Manager site, he created on his own, the Huffington Post approached him to relocate to New York City and become its first community manager for the HuffPost live service. Imagine that. From real estate to the purpose empire that Arianna Huffington built, off he went to New York City. But a funny thing happened during his time at the Huffington Post. Tim was working in a role that fueled some of his passions, but he still found he was not entirely fulfilled. He finally had to place in his life where he could properly define who he was, continuing to develop what he was about, but he did not like how he had been working. He said to me in an interview, quote, "During my time at HuffPost, I realized that there was so much more to life than climbing the corporate ladder or becoming the next Facebook or Twitter. It was about looking at the relationships we have in life and how we can make lasting impacts on them. It was Tim's penchant to ask questions in his own agora. What am I doing to evolve my character? Will I become in life and at work? And how will I operate and be perceived by others?" That led him to personal epiphany of sorts.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization for the Future. Dan Pontefract, by Dan Pontefract. We're at the chapter, Creating a Personal Sense of Purpose. While taking part in a Changers of Commerce meeting in Dallas, where he was speaking on stage about his role at HuffPost, leaders from Be the Change Revolutions, an organization that aims to mix communities with social good, approached him. They asked him if he might be interested in joining their social council for the No Kid Hungry Foundation. He jumped at the chance, and after a few months of his volunteer efforts and realizing that his true purpose and focus in life was one of giving, he was asked by BTC to join him in a full-time capacity. As McDonald says, quote, It was like the person you have a crush on asking you if you wanted to go on a date, unquote. Tim knew leaving HuffPost would not be easy, but he also knew that finding a place where he could live his purpose-driven life was an opportunity that he couldn't pass up. He added, quote, becoming more vested in working with organizations doing good has allowed for my work and life to be purposeful beyond my wildest dreams, unquote. Tim's job title at BTC Revolutions is now the purveyor of purpose. Not to be satisfied with the status quo, after joining the firm, he also co-founded Creating IS, a nonprofit organization that brings together people, unsung heroes, as Tim calls them, who are changing the world in terms of social impact. As we will witness over the remaining chapters, one's role at work in the organization, ethics and operating practices can have a significant bearing on a team member's personal sense of purpose. But purpose always starts with the self. Without properly developing, defining, and deciding oneself, the likelihood of the purpose effect coming to fruition may be minimal, if not impossible. Megan Smith is lucky to have discovered and realized all these facets of purpose, personal, organizational, and role, since she first joined SAP more than a decade ago. But her own sweet spot starts and ends with the passion, development, reward triangle she articulated. Céline Sillinger is an example of someone who has been relentless in the pursuit of personal meaning in life and at work. For her, it is a constant battle to ensure the balance of experimentation, networking, and learning is front and center. Kelsey Trigg and Jill Schnarr are individuals not only paint over their canvas to continue learning, they define themselves with authenticity and meaning. Michael Bungay Stanier was busy developing and defining himself, not only to look in the mirror one day and decide the trajectory he was on as unsuitable and unfulfilling. He decided to put purpose first. Tim McDonald suggests the personal purpose journey is never over. One ought to be constantly asking if the current situation is as good as it could possibly be. In the quest for and creation of personal purpose, each of these individuals continuously develop, define, and decide. There is no such thing as status quo. There is no complacency. Their monocle of inspection, the emergence of meaning, hinges on the recurrent pondering of three key questions. Number one, what am I doing to evolve myself? Number two, who am I in life and at work? Number three, how will I operate and be perceived by others? William Ernest Henley ends our investigation into the establishment of one's personal sense of purpose with the following passage. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged the punishments, the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. As mentioned earlier, personal purpose is the perpetual journey to develop, define, and decide what your what, your who, and your how. But unless you are independently wealthy, you must work for an organization or start your own, as was the case of Michael Bungay Stanier, in order to pay for groceries. What does the ideal organization look like? How can that organization develop, define, and decide its own purpose? What exactly is organizational purpose? As the next chapter explores these and other questions regarding the true purpose of the organization. Chapter 6, Developing organizational purpose. If you want to succeed, you should strike out on new paths rather than travel the worn paths of accepted success. John D. Rockefeller. One doesn't discover new lands without consenting to lose sight for a very long time of the shore. André Paul Guillaume Guidé. Since its inception in 1945, Johnsonville Sausage, LLC, has believed in delivering sound business results. It does so within a culture of fairness and organizational purpose. This company of 1,500 employees, which has all the decency to call members, produces all sorts of sausages, meatballs, and bratwursts from various facilities, including its headquarters in Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin. Ralph C. Steyer, who has been the visionary and owner for the past 40 years, has taken the company from a regional sausage supplier within Wisconsin to the global player it is today. The company has sales in excess of $1 billion annually. I met Corey Bullock, a leader at Johnsonville Sausage, in 2012. I have been intrigued by the organization's purpose and operating practices ever since. Take, for example, the Johnsonville Way cultural statement. Quote, "We at Johnsonville have a moral responsibility to become the best company in the world. We will do this at each one of us becomes better than anyone else at defining and then serving the best interests of all those who have a stake in our success. We will succeed by setting near-term objectives and long-term goals that will require a personal growth and superlative performance by each of us. We will change any objectives or goals that no longer require personal growth and superlative performance to ones that do. As an individual, I understand the Johnsonville Way is about my performance and my accountability to the team. My commitment to stretch, grow, and excel is an unending one. This is the Johnsonville Way. I am committed to it." In our next show, we will go into more detail of what exactly, how the purpose effect applies to the Johnsonville Way, and go into the details of how organizational purpose can be tested and how we can foster functional and technical excellence, how to own our working together, how to role model our organizational values, and how to deliver results for our organizations. All this is very important for developing our futures, so please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello and welcome to View.